Proverbs 1 verse 8, hear my son your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a great graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole, like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all precious goods, we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, we will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Verse 19, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. Praise be to God for the reading of His word. Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given us, that we as your people can gather to worship you. To worship you corporately, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for how you have displayed your grace this past week. In light of what we have gone through this week, Father, we're thankful for who you are and what you continue to do in the lives of your people. God, I pray that our time will just be a time to make much of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful for the weather that we have and the wind that we have here at this very moment. God, we pray for our people who are watching online. God, I pray that they too will be focused and attentive and excited as we are here, God, to sit under your word. God, I pray that you remove any distractions. Yes, we may be here in the open area, and Lord, we pray that you would calm the noise, that only your word will penetrate in our ears, in our very hearts. We pray, Father, for the presence of your Spirit in each every one of us, that we may be able to comprehend and understand your word. So speak. Grant us clarity of heart and mind. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. May we behold the wonderful things out of your law as we open your very word. God, I thank you. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you have provided and how you provided for our needs daily. Thank you, Father, for meeting those needs. We ask that you would forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. God, you know exactly where our heart is. I pray, dear Lord, that we would commune with you. God, help us that we will truly give our worship in spirit and in truth. That we would fully surrender ourselves, Lord. Whatever your people are going through, Father, that it, may this be a day for them to cast all their cares on you because you care for them. That they would run to you confidently and boldly, that you would answer their prayers according to your time and in your will. So help us as your people, Father, to be sensitive to the needs of our brothers and our sisters. May we show grace upon grace with one another, as you have shown us grace. May we display that grace to others, Lord. The love that you've called us to display, love in everything, Lord. May we not be caught up in all the things that's going on in social media and all in the news, Lord. Help us simply to focus on you. Help us to fix our eyes on our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever we're going through in life, whatever it may be, Father, may we be reminded that Christ is everything. That He is more than enough. So we worship you and we thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you will continue to do. So we pray for all these things. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. We all sit down. As we continue our series, our second week in the book of Proverbs, we find ourselves in chapter 1, verse 8 through 19. This is an encouragement to pay attention to parental guidance. And we will see later on in how we relate to other people in regards to our peers or friends that we fellowship or we hang out with. I don't use the word fellowship lightly. 30% of college students drop out after their first year at school. While the dropout rate slows after the first year, an ongoing filter means the total dropout rate is somewhere in the 40 to 50% range. There are many reasons for this dropout. Number one is lack of discipline, lack of money, lack of friends, perhaps I picked the wrong major. The number one reason for people dropping out is peer pressure. The influence of others in the same social or age group. This is not limited to the young, but especially influential when we are young. Peer pressure has many negative effects, which often accumulate to accuse or to cause students to drop out. Bad decisions that lead to sin and harm to ourselves and others. Conflict, inner, outer, even spiritual. Stress, anxiety, depression. 20-30% of teens report symptoms of depression due to peer pressure. But there's good news. When you and I look at this passage before us in 8 through 19, especially in the next few verses, in verse 8, the first thing I want us to look at is this. Number one, the offer of wisdom, or the benefits of wisdom, in verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 tells us once again, King Solomon, the author of this section, it says, the word of God says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The verses that we just read are addressed to a son who is admonished to what? To pay attention to the instruction of his mother and mother. King Solomon exhorts sons to heed the instructions of their fathers and the teaching of their mothers, as we see in verse 8. By extension, this exhortation applies to daughters as well. Even though King Solomon is speaking directly to son or sons, but it's also applicable to daughters, as we see here. For if the leaders of the homes in Israel are sons, need to learn from and obey their parents, so do all other citizens. This is not just limited to young men. This is also applicable to young ladies or everyone in general. King Solomon's teaching is nothing new. For the fifth commandment calls children to what? To honor their parents, right? To honor in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Note that both the law of Moses and today's passage speak of listening to both fathers and mothers. And here's the thing, is that children are not permitted to respect one parent and ignore the other parent, right? And there are times where a child favorites his or her mom, right? So if I would ask you young people today, who's your favorite or the most parent that you respect? All right, praise God, right? So if you have your dad today, if you have your parents here today, what would you say? Right? And you'd probably look at your mom and say, Mom, you know that's you. Right? Dad, I know in my household, I know my kids, who their favorites. Right? I'm not going to say anything. So even though, again, this passage is addressing the child, Let's first consider this passage from a parental perspective. All right, so in verse 8 and 9, I want us to look at that. Yes, King Solomon is addressing directly the child, but at the same time, I want us to look at from a parent's perspective. Parents have an important task, amen? Your important task is to what? Buy them stuff. Buy them the latest iPhone, the latest Xbox, or media, whatever, right? That's your important task, amen? No. I hope not. So parents must teach their children how to obey to what? To parental authority. So again, let me speak to the parents, to the adults. God is speaking to us through a father advising his son. Every dad needs to have some talks with his son during the critical 10 years. I'm not talking about the talk, right? That the parents have to go through. I got a call one time from one of our brothers. Hey, brother, have you that talk with your son? I was like, what are you talking about? Right? We know exactly what that kind of talk, right? That's not kind of talk I'm talking about here. It is this important talk. It is more than that. So again, hear what King Solomon is addressing to us in the Word of God is telling us. Embedded in the biblical book of Proverbs, it speaks to all of us. But a dad is looking his boy straight in the eye and saying, son, here's the kind of world you're going to be living in every day of your life. That's the kind of talk that we're talking about. We're not just talking a particular topic in his life. We're talking about every aspect of his life. We need to have that kind of discussion, not just to our sons, but to our daughters, not just as parents, but as well as grandparents. Here's what you can expect, and here's what you have to do about it. That is a wise dad. Being able to be able to speak to his or her daughter. You see, the father is not shielding his boy from the real world. He is telling him about it in advance, but in a way that will help his son rather than destroy him. So it's important that we as parents have this kind of talk and really prepare our children what the world is like. We're not to show them what's going on out there. We're in a family too, in the church. That kind of family is worth a lot today. Some of us were underparented, right? Perhaps some of you, right? One thing I appreciate about Pastor Junior's ministry on Tuesday night, and that God has allowed to open, there are a lot of young people that are underparented. And that's a big task. I remember being a youth pastor, being a youth worker, going through ministering to young people, parents are not involved in their lives. So I know what that's like, being a child of not being parented correctly. So we as a church have a responsibility. I'm not just speaking to parents who have biological children. We as a church have a responsibility to one another. So, but God, our Father, loves us by locating us inside His family, where we have father figures. We have spiritual mothers, and all of us are growing together. Amen? And this is the beauty of being part of a local church. I know I have a spiritual mom. I know I have a spiritual dad that I can count to. Do you have that in your life? That you have been in church for all these years, do you have a spiritual father that you can run to? Do you have a spiritual mom that you can run to? Yes, they play a part in your life. You may not have a physical father. You may not have a biological parent who are followers of Christ, but there's a reason why you're in this church, amen? It is that very essence that God has called you so that individual can give you advices in life. Wisdom in life. So all of us are growing together. I mean, I'm sure you could stop right now. You could think, you know what? Who are my spiritual parents? Who are my spiritual moms or dads? See, all of the children obey passages in scripture have the underlying assumption that the parents are actively teaching their children how to obey them. The degree to which a child obeys his or her parents early in life often dictates a degree of submission to other authorities. You see, when a child understands and belongs to a home where parent is active of teaching his or her child what authority looks like and how to obey, and guess what? When the child grows or when the child goes somewhere else, he or she will what? Obey authority. I mean, this is especially true when it comes to God's authority. If a child learns to despise his parental authority, those whom he sees, he will not submit himself to an authority he cannot what? He cannot see. I mean, can I tell you this? As I'm studying this, and when I look at this, when it comes to parental authority in my life, that's non-existence. You see, I grew up without parents at the age of 2. I had grandparents, I have uncles, I have aunts that I grew up with. And so there are times in my life that I could account for that I don't know you, I don't respect you, I don't obey your authority. I had that attitude. Even when I was in early years in my Christian, even as a pastor, I had struggled with obeying authority. An older pastor and my wife had to come alongside and tell me, you know what, you have a problem with authority, don't you? You don't seem to follow and respect authority. You see, as a young man, I had struggled with that. I didn't have proper authority in my own home. You see, one thing that we see here, that Solomon assumes that parents are training their children in godly wisdom, which should not surprise us given the call of, when you look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you turn your Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 9, 4 through 9, and take note of this, and this is what the Word of God says in chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You see, this is the responsibility of parents to what? To instruct godly wisdom to their children. God is saying that the main teacher in the life of children and the main influence is to be their what? Is to be their parents. You see, we can't be a church and relying on our Sunday school teachers. We can't be a church and relying on our youth coordinators. I praise God for them. But they're not the main influencer in their lives. If you're a parent today, you have that role. That is what God has called you to do. So God is saying that the main teacher in the life of your children is you. God gives parents the responsibility to teach their kids as an act of love. You see, our sons and daughters cannot follow the teaching of today's passage if we do not faithfully catechize them in what the Lord has revealed and do not model godly wisdom for them. You see, they're not going to know that unless we teach them and we model godly things. The command to follow the instruction of the father and mother assumes that the father and mother were teaching the child how to live life in accordance to God's standards. You see, Solomon was not merely concerned that his son would obey his instruction when it comes to matters revolving around clothing, in regards to doing chores, his daily chores or other daily issues. But rather, the command is to follow God in his life. Since Solomon was living under the Mosaic law, he was appealing to his son to listen to his wisdom, so that the child would learn how to wisely live in obedience to God in light of the law which had been entrusted to the nation of Israel. Raising children involves more than simply providing for their material and even emotional needs. It's more than that. It takes work. It also involves nurturing and instructing children in the good and right ways of the Lord. Amen? You see, again, our main responsibility is not for them to have nice clothes, or to have a big house, to have nice cars, to have a lot of stuff. Our responsibility, church, as parents, is to what? For them to be nurtured in the ways of the Lord. In other words, parents have the responsibility to train their children in a variety of life aspects, the practical, secular, and spiritual issues, encompassing every aspect with their thoughts, desires, and actions. The children must be trained so that they learn to view their entire lives as being lived in the sight of God. You see, children need to understand, however young they may be, is that they need to see, they need to be instructed, that they need to know that their end goal is to what? Their lives, their purpose is to what? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And this is what we see, and how important it is for us to be able to really point our children in those ways. You see, when parents remove or shield their children from consequences, they are cleverly teaching the children that actions have no real consequences, which results in apathy or indifference in the heart of the children. You see, children have to understand that their action, when they don't follow, what happens? There are consequences that they have to face with. You see, the training of a child should never be performed under the assumption that proper training guarantees a good and right outcome. Okay? Just because you're up there daily with your children praying, reading God's word, going to church, Bible study, prayer meeting, youth, and all those things. Can I tell you this though? That's not guarantee that they will have a good result. It doesn't matter how much you're on your knees. It doesn't matter how much you teach them God's ways. It's not guaranteed, church. It does not guarantee that the child will live before God by choosing the right and the good way. Since parents cannot guarantee the salvation of their children, neither can they guarantee that their children will live in a way which pleases and honor God simply by imparting correct instruction to them. And that's the truth. And you wonder why, like, you know, you've seen pastors and Christian parents who are like, man, I have prayed, I have spent this and that with my child. How come he still run away from me? How come I have a prodigal daughter or a prodigal son, despite of how much I have prayed and I have plead before God daily for the salvation of my children? Parents, your children are not Christian because you are Christian. They too must repent of their sin. They too must acknowledge Christ as their Savior and Lord. Our responsibility as parents is to continue to teach them and to pray for their salvation, that they too will acknowledge Christ as their Savior and Lord. You see, in this verse, the father pleads with his son to hear and accept parental instruction, which indicates choice. So the child has a choice. Yes, you have trained them to what? You have trained them in the ways of the Lord all these years in their lives. But they will make a choice. Hey, dad, hey, mom, you know what? I need to go. They will not make that choice in their life. You cannot keep them. You cannot shield them from those things. They need to experience life for themselves. So we have this responsibility. So we have to constantly pray for their salvation and for their well-being. If the child neglects to hear, he becomes a fool and experiences many of the consequences of being a fool mentioned in this book. If your child, doesn't matter how often and how many times you have provided biblical wisdom to your child, he or she still have that responsibility. But if your child does not respond well, did not listen to instruction, he or she becomes a fool. If the child listens and heeds the instruction, it will be an ornament of grace around his neck. Those who walk in wisdom will be winners in life from God's perspective. So the question is, why do your parents take such time and pain to teach you wisdom? Right? I'm asking the child right now, right? Why do your parents take such time and pains to teach you wisdom? How come they're on you all the time and telling you, don't go there, don't do that? There are reasons. There are because they've been there. They've experienced that. When you look at this, when a person listens, look at it in verse 9 of Proverbs 1:8. 8 and 9 says, in verse 9 says, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Look at the benefits. When you as a child listen to your parents or even to your spiritual parents, look what happens. Graceful ornament is often used for a crowning victor. Did you hear that? When you take heed of the instructions of your parents, you're like a winner. Because you received that wisdom from your parents and you responded biblically and godly. You see, the chains were a mark of prestige. Your parents, says Solomon, are not out to ruin your life, but to help you truly succeed. Right? How many parents, how many of you have said this to your parents? You're just ruining my life. I want to go already. I want to leave this house. I want to be on my own. See, can I tell you, children, right? They're not to ruin your life. They're there to guide you. But they're there to help you truly succeed, not in the eyes of the world, but to succeed in the eyes of God. Wisdom is the way to win. Wisdom is the way to honor. Wisdom enhances and beautifies both this life and the next. If you look at Proverbs chapter 3, listen, children, listen to this. In Proverbs 3, verse 22. When you have this wisdom in verse 21 and 22 says, my son, do not lose sight of this. Keep sound wisdom in discretion, and there will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Right? So the chains are like a mark of a prestige. Even in chapter 4, verse 9. In Proverbs, says, she will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. That's the result when you respond to wisdom. Even you can look at it later, Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Open to 1 Peter chapter 3. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter 3 says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. You see, having considered verses 8 and 9 from a parental perspective, now let's consider the verses from the perspective of the son being addressed. So now, as we have discussed the roles and the responsibility of parents, whether it be your biological parents or your spiritual parents, now let's speak to the son, to the child. So while Solomon addresses passage to a son, its application extends beyond childhood. On a general level, it is wise for you to consider and obey parental instruction. Listen, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Ephesians 6, 2 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Children, write that down. Your role is to honor your father and your mother. See, there's no if, right? There's no if. It doesn't matter how they behave in your life. Your responsibility is to what? Is to honor your mom or your dad. You're to honor your parents. And look what happened when you biblically honor your parents. What happens? That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. As long as your parents are alive, you have a responsibility to what? To honor. Just because you're married, that does not mean you cannot honor your parents. Amen? Right? My mom is in the Philippines. I have a responsibility to honor her wherever she is. I have a responsibility to honor. I have a responsibility to honor my in-laws. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, what is it? Obey your parents in everything. What? The Bible says to obey your parents in everything. Yes. So when they ask you to pick up, get something in the fridge, obey your parents. Is that what it's saying? Right? You're there watching on your show, you're there on your Facebook, and you say, "Hey, I said, go get me apple. Go get me drinks in the fridge." He has a responsibility to what? To obey your parents. But at the same time, I cannot use that as a what? Right? I have responsibility. I have two legs. I have two feet, right? I have two hands. I can get up. Right? But my daughter is shaking her head, right? So God uses the instruction of parents to guide and guard the youth. Even if the parent is not a believer, and therefore lacks significant spiritual insight. So if you have a parent, it's not a believer, right? You have a responsibility to what? To, say with me, to obey. Just because you're a follower of Christ, that does not give you a license not to obey your parents because they're not followers of Jesus Christ. More so that you have to obey your parents, regardless that they know God or not. Regardless if they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. On a more specific level, this passage implores the young son to follow spiritual instruction, which will help him to live wisely before God. The passage alerts the reader that he needs to know how to apply God's word, God's truth in his or her life, and that's wisdom. That's what you need to do. When the reader follows God's instruction, he or she will be success in life from God's perspective, not necessarily from the world's perspective. You as a child need to understand that. When you obey, when you follow your parents' instruction, you will be successful in the eyes of God. Do you want to be successful in God's eyes? If so, listen and heed the instructions which are given within the book of Proverbs. A lot of wisdom gained by heeding the godly instruction of parents and others is a far greater adornment than the best jewels money can buy. Let me give you some application in verse 8 and 9. When you look at this passage, parents, this is your number one responsibility in life. Amen? Nothing matters more than this. Nothing. The godly instruction of your children is far more important than going to college, getting a good career, succeeding in sports. If you really love them, you will what? You will make a priority. What's your priority? Teaching them the wisdom and correcting them in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 tells us so that they can prosper by God's definition of prosperity. Right? See, you see a lot of parents, their responsibility, you know, I got to work, I got to do this so I can provide for my child. He or she can go to a nice college, to a university, to an Ivy League. I can't even say that because I don't go there. Right? I want to make sure that before I die, that I can see that my child goes to a nice university. UCL, what's that about? No. Go to USC, go to UCL and West Coast University. What's that? Right? No, let's go to Yale. Let's go to Stanford. That's what the world, that's how the world sees me. And that's important in my life. If you're a Christian today, if you know Christ and if you're a father and a mother, repent of that sin in your life. If it's your focus that your child will have a good grade so that he or she can go find a nice husband or find a nice, a beautiful girlfriend, that's not the point. It's not having a fancy career, but rather, point that person that I'm praying for you, that the person that God will bring someone in your life knows God in his or her life. They need to understand that, yes, grade matters, but your relationship with God is a priority. Amen? The greatest wisdom and riches you can give your kids is to point them to the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. See, I remember when my grandfather was dying, and I asked him, I was there, and I challenged him as he was dying. I said, how would your children, your grandchildren remember you? How would they remember you? Or that they provided, that you provided for them? That's great. But more so that you will know that you will help them to point them to Christ. That's the greatest need our children need, is a salvation in their lives. Amen? How many of us are praying for the salvation of our children? Can you perhaps find a young person to mentor for those who are singles, those who do not have children? Perhaps you are single and you have no children. What about looking out for kids who have no parent and only one struggling parent? Can you not become a spiritual mother or father to that child? Right? Like I said, there's a lot of young people today with broken homes. You as a Christian, you as a follower of Christ, you can spend time, you can pray and open up, especially, you know what, I don't know what parenting looks like, I'm single. Pray that God will give you wisdom to be able to come alongside. Right? You don't need a high Q to be a mom or dad. Amen? All you need is God's wisdom. All you need is the Word of God to guide you how to love and care for that child. If you're rebelling against your parents' instruction and correction, let me speak to the young people today, or to the children. If you're this individual that you're rebelling against, you're disobeying your parents' guidance and instruction, ask yourself, what's their motive? Is it hatred or love? Is it prosperity or your poverty? Is it really just their opinion, or are they basing their instruction and correction on the tried and tested Word of God? Remember their love for you as you are their son and daughter. How important that is to for you as a child. Why you're wondering why your parents are on you all single day. Why? It's for your own good. To guide you in the ways of the Lord. If you have such a mother or father, thank God and remember, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. See, you have a privilege that only a very small percentage of this world's kids have been given. You see, here in our church, you may be underparented, but if you have been mentored or even discipled or been helped, show your appreciation and thank them for the work. Go home, children, to your homes today, or even as you go on your way to your home, and talk to your parents and thank them for the wisdom and the guidance and the directions that they have helped you with. The decisions that they help you make. Yeah, they may be not a follower of Christ, even more so that you have responsibility to thank and be grateful for them. You see, it is God who is parenting you through your parents. It is God that is showing His love through them, His wisdom through them, His desire for your welfare through them. It is God who gave His Son to death to save many other sons and daughters from death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. So that's our application in verse 8 and 9. To the parents and to the children. It's a beautiful picture, and there's that reward when you and I obey. And this is what wisdom really looks like for us, church. Verse 10 through 19, the second point, the choice before the youth. Ungodly influences. And here's where parents comes in. And this is where adults and spiritual parents come alongside of you. While the Bible does warn of the danger in having wrong friends in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:33. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And the Word of God says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. In the Old Testament, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, starting on verse 6. Look at this example when it comes to how you surround yourselves with peers, friends that are wrong. In verse 6 of chapter 10, the Word of God says, verse 6, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old man who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they said to him, if you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he abandoned the counsel that the old man gave him and took counsel with a young man who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we answer these people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us? And the young man who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little fingers is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, come to me again the third day. And the king answered them harshly and forsaking the counsel of the old man. King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of the young man, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, that the Lord might fulfill his word, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. You see here that these verses focus upon the temptation which comes from the wrong friends, the wrong advices, the wrong peers. You see, the wrong friends, those who are disposed to do wrong, will entice others to join with them their evil deeds. Look at verse 10. It warns the youth of those who might entice him into joining forces with them in an evil venture, as you see in verse 14. The word entice means to allure or to persuade or to seduce, which may not necessarily carry tones of merely a persuasion. Here the persuasion is wrong, because the object of the enticement is to encourage the youth to do what? To participate in the evil. Godly parents seek to instill in their children a sense of right and wrong. Along with this, parents must teach children to beware of unrighteous friendships which result in luring a person into evil actions. Right? Remember when you had that discussion with your children, parents? Right? How many of you are praying that your children, that God will bring the right friends into the life of your children? Man, especially today, when we praise God, right? My daughter wants to be my friend. Praise God for that. And I said, no, I'm your dad. I'm not your BFF. Right? I stand. I'm your father. I'm not your friend. I know she's hurt, but... And she says, Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. I still have not have a proper answer for her friendship. Maybe I'll give her a friendship ring. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs is hard to preach. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. Listen to what the Word of God says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, but in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he what? He prospers. But look at verse 1. Look at the command in verse 1. Or the encouragement that we see there. Happy is the person, blessed are you who walks not in the counsel of the wicked nor stands, right? You are blessed when you are not hanging out, when you are not surrounding yourselves with wrong crowds. Companionship can be a powerful influence in one's life to pursue good ways or evil, right? Young people, right? If you're busy on social media, be careful, turn it off, right? Don't follow those influencers, so-called influencers, even in a Christian circle. They have that now, but what? Right? But pray Right? One of my prayers for my children, that God will bring the right friends, godly friends, that would help them to walk in their faith, not instead of pull them away from the Lord, it's that they're walking together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our prayer. Spiritual parents, you have that responsibility as well. It's better to walk alone than with a crowd in the wrong direction. That's what I see in Psalm chapter 1. Right? I don't care if my daughter does not have friends at school, if all her friends are just bunch of blank, right? He or she needs to be, yes, she can be in a public school. We need to guide her and guide him to be surrounded with friends who will help her grow in the faith. What pastor, how come most of my daughter's friends or son's friends are not Christians? Right? There's a reason the Lord put your child in that. Right? I would talk to my daughter, right? And she would tell me what kind of friend she has. Right? Well, she would talk to my to her mom, and she would tell me, right? And what kind of people, the characters, the characteristics. It's important that we're involved in that direction. You see, young people must learn early in life to discern between right and wrong, and to discern the righteous from the wicked, so that they refrain from establishing intimate relationship with those who will influence them to do which is of evil. Right? So it's important for us to be in the Word, that we know God's Word, so we can help our children grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Because when you look at verse 12 and 16, verse 10 through 12 and 16, your peers are sinners. Sinners are never content to sin themselves. They want to draw others in there. They seem to especially target the moral and the children of good parents. Again, when I said entice means to allure or to seduce, the parents anticipate this temptation here and say, don't even open the door. Right? I mean, when you have that talk with your children, and when you warn them, and you know what? Yes, you may do this, but guess what? Don't open that door. Don't get involved. Right? It's kind of like, you know, we don't want our children to, if they're in that age, to have a boyfriend, girlfriend, right? And what do you tell them? Make sure that they are what? A follower of Jesus Christ. Right? That they make sure that they know Christ as their Savior and Lord. Can I tell you, young people, it's not your responsibility to save them. Right? Just because he or she is beautiful and good looking. Oh, I'm a Christian. I got it. I'm good. I'm good with God. I'm stable. I can, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to bring him to church. I'm going to bring her to church. I'm going to save him. Wrong. You don't do the saving. God does that. All right? So don't even get involved in that relationship in the first place. But you see what kind of friends, right? They're not just satisfied to do bad things. They also content, you know what, that person is good, and you know what, she goes to church every week, so you know what, let's see if we can convince or influence or even seduce this individual, right? Let's invite him to parties and all that. So this is what your parents says, don't even open the door. That's what consent means. Opening the door. It foresees sinners on the outside trying to get your kids to open and follow them. So the parents say, don't even put your hand on the handle. Right? So remember when you teach your children, when they were young, well, don't play with a candle, right? Don't play with a, you know what I'm talking about. Don't touch that iron, and you know, guess what they do? Right? They turn it on, they play with fire, and they touch it like, I told you so! But we have responsibility as parents to what? To warn them not to open the door, not to hang out with so-and-so, because we know. So what are they tempting them to do? This sinners, this group of people who induce, seduce people to join their murderous, violent gang in order to kill others and get their money. That's what they're doing. Well, that's not likely to happen in Israel, right? Well, of course it can, and it does. But just because our kids are not in a street gang, how many been in a gang? Amen? Am I the only one? Believe it or not, right? I was once, and I was lost, right? But I'm not going to go, that's a different story. My wife's like, let's preach the word. But what, you know, they're not. I mean, our kids are good kids, amen? They're good kids, right? They're not part of any gang, Pastor, right? They hang out with, my daughter would say, you know, Dad, I hang out with a lot of Filipinos and all the Asian, they're good kids, right? Just because they're Asian, that doesn't mean they're good, right? You just set aside, what about this group of people, right? Now you got all the racing going on. I'm not going to preach about race today. We've done that already. Right? But here we see, what about their verbal destruction, their gossip, right? Their physical, like they like to bully or cyberbullying. Just because they're not part of a street gang, right? You guys don't know anything about that here, right? I mean, the moment you guys are Compton, the moment you guys go to South Central, it's like, Pastor, don't make me drive there. It's scary there. Don't make me go to San Bernardino. There's a lot of gangs there. All this graffiti, right? But they could be involved in some other things. But these verses are just a sample temptation. It could be any number of sins. The focus is not the sin, but the sinners who are doing the tempting. Solomon is inviting the tempted to compare and contrast the character and the aim of their friends with their parents. So you see, when you as a child and start to compare what kind of friends and versus your parents, who are you going to listen to? You know, and your child will tell you, my friends are better than my parents, right? You've heard that argument before, right? They're closer to their friends instead of to their parents, right? Oh, their friends understand that, well, the moment you have nothing else and you have nothing else, guess what happened to your friends? See ya. But who were you going to run to? Your parents, right? Verse 13 and 14, your peers tell you lies. The tempter promises prosperity, security, and identity. Well, we'll all be one big, rich, happy family. That's what the tempter is doing here. It's going to be so easy and so rewarding. Notice the emphasis on we, our, us, one purse, it says. You'll be one of us, no longer on the outside. You'll be popular with the popular, right? Do you remember that? I was one of those popular kids in school. So I just like walk around the school. Yeah, you know what? Come, right? Right? Just be one of us, right? But what gang of sinners ever remain friends for long? And remember who's behind the lies and the false promises. It's who? The devil. The father of lies, and who was a murderer from when? From the beginning. John chapter 8, verse 44 and 45. The Bible changes our view of our tempters. You are of your father, the devil, it says. Remember that the next time they come with their enticement, right? Remember that. You as a follower of Christ, remember your friends who are misleading you to the truth. So it's important for you to what? To have the right friends. Verse 17 and 19, your peers are doomed. If birds see a hunter, setting a trap, they instantly know to avoid it. Partly it's because they've seen other birds caught. Mainly it's because they know the hunter's character and aim. And yet, although God warns about the trap, shows where it is and how it works, the character and aim of who is setting it, sometime what? They still jump, and they jump right on it. And that's what we see in verse 18 and 19. They still get trapped with their own schemes. And that's something you need to be careful of. Sin has short-term benefits, but long-term cost. It is attractive, but deadly. Sin has short-term benefits, but long-term cost. Right? So be careful with the friends, with the peers that you're with. Your friends would never pressure you to gang up on someone to kill and rob them, would they? Maybe not. But what about pressuring you to watch rated R movies that glorify and glamorize violence or sex? What about the sharing of pornography that is basically the PR phase of sex trafficking and has the same violent end result of as the street gangs? See, we can categorize all those things. Oh, we're not doing that. Oh, we're not doing all the killing and all those things. What about the other things and how your friends are influencing you? And how they're pressuring you? Remember who is behind your friends. Right? You know, as I talk to my daughter and ask about what kind of friends she has at school, and she'll tell me, you know what, Dad, it's really sad. These are the type of people that I'm friends with. I said, let's pray for salvation. I remember a father, you know, his prayer request was when he was telling me what kind of friends his child was surrounded with at school in the higher education. I said, yes, my daughter is going through the same thing. It's known. It's they're out there. So we need to, as parents, we have, again, we go back and pray for the salvation of our children and that God would protect them from the influence of the world. Because, again, when you think about it, you have to remember who the father who is behind your friends. It's a father of lies, a murderer who wants to murder your soul. And remember what is in front of your friends, certain destruction with a punishment designed to match the crime. The net has been spread in front of you and they want to catch you. So this is what we see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 through 19. The important task of parents, not just biological parents, but as well as spiritual parents. And the children, right? Not just for our children. I have responsibility too, who are my friends at work? Who do I surround myself when I go to the office at West Coast? Who are my friends? Who do I talk to? How do I influence them with the gospel? How do I live out the gospel in the midst of my unbelieving friends in my workplace? Right? All of you are homeschool parents now, right? You guys are like, yes, I could teach my kids the ways of the Lord. What happens when they go back to the public school in the world out there? So we have responsibility to what? To protect them and to pray for them. We cannot shield them from those that will make their own decisions, but we do our utmost to guide them. Right. Recently, my oldest son decided to move out and live with his friends in LA. Right. So he's living in with, like, they're sharing rooms, an apartment, and all that, or right, a house with, right. So I just been praying, and if I, and I before he he made a decision. I said, you know what? Well, he already made his decision. But I had to warn him the responsibility and the consequences of his action. But that's part of growing up, I told him. But you have to take some responsibility. But I have been praying for him, right? And so that's a first is for me as a parent. And he has a responsibility as well, and I have a responsibility to do that and to guide. Maybe as parents, that God will give us wisdom, even spiritual parents, that we would take time to come alongside of young people today who does not have godly parents, that we would pray for them. Every one of us as a church, as a body, we have responsibility, amen? And that's the joy of being a follower of Christ and being plugged in a local church, that you get to see, you know what, so-and-so needs guidance. So-and-so needs guidance. Will you be open for God to work in your life, to respond, hey, you know, someone needs guidance and direction. That could be your own child, right? Maybe you have struggled as a parent, as a dad, and as a mom all these years. You probably could say, you know what, Pastor, I have struggled of not guiding them correctly. It's an opportunity for us to repent, amen? May God give us opportunity to do that, to humble ourselves before God, go to the throne of grace and repent of that and walk through with our children and pray for them daily and remember them in our prayers. And let them know that you're praying for them. Oh, that God will surround them with the right friends, with godly friends. Not just godly, not religious friends, but those who love Jesus Christ. Those who long to be discipled and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh God, I pray that we would benefit. That we would benefit from this wisdom that you have presented before us from your word. Lord, when I've studied this, when I've looked at this passage, at all I could think of how at times I have failed as a father. That I have not guided my children well. There are times I've been so inconsistent in those ways. God, forgive me. Grant me the courage and the boldness and the love for my children to care for their souls. Lord, I pray for all the fathers here in our church today that they too would recognize where they are in their relationship with you, in their relationship with their children or their child. And even for the mothers today, Lord, we also pray for the moms, for the role that they have in the lives of their children and their child as well. God, help them, guide them. God, I pray for the children that you will grant them wisdom, that they will have the love and the heart to listen to the guidance and the direction and the instruction from their parents. God, I pray for those young people who do not have parents. God, I pray that they too will be open to ask, Lord, that you would lead them to a spiritual mom or spiritual dad, that they would help them and guide them in the ways of the Lord. God, I pray for the single today. They might not recognize that, yes, they don't have their own biological parents and children or a child. But Lord, you have brought them for a reason in the life of that individual, of that child. God, I pray that he or she will see the need to step up and be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. Lord, I'm thankful for the ministry of Pastor Junior and Joanne for the work that they do for all these years ministering to those young people, those young adults, and where they are today. And I pray that you would prosper them in the truth, that you would help and guide Junior and Joanne, Lord, to see the needs, not just physically, but more so, Father, spiritually. I thank you for their children who come alongside of their parents and help them in this way. God, I thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. May you bless that ministry, dear Lord. That they would walk and experience the love of God in their lives through Joanne and Junior, Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, Lord, that you remain faithful when we at times, Lord, we have failed. Glorify yourself. We give you praise and we thank you. In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.